Vanoggend se diens is 'n bietjie anderste. Julle weet ons gaan nou van môre tot Woensdag in 'n 3 dae tyd van vas en gebed. Daar is dit. En verlede Sondag het ek 'n boodskap gebring dat ons onsself moes voorberei gedurende die week. Ek hoop julle het dit gedoen. Ek moes my voorberei. Julle weet ek is lief vir koffie. En as ek net so stop met koffie, dan gaan my kop pyn. So ek moes my stelselmatig, moes ek dit minder maak. So het elkeen die dingetjies wat hulle moes doen. So ons gaan vanaf môre, Maandag, Dinsdag, Woensdag, gaan ons vas en bid en Woensdag aand 7:00 kom ons allemaal lekker hier by mekaar met 'n bordjie eetgoed en ons breek die vastydperk. En onthou, jy het by die Here gaan hoor hoe jy moet vas. Niemand kan vir jou sê wat jy moet los, wat se voedsel jy moet los nie. Jy het by die Here gaan hoor en dit is hoe jy gaan vas van môre af. En ek wil 'n beroep op julle doen dat julle werklik in hierdie tyd sal vas. Ek het vanoggend toe ons bid het ek regtig ervaar daar's 'n geestelike seisoen wat draai. Iets in die gees, daar's 'n verandering en ek voel dit regtig sterk. En kom ons vat hierdie 3 dae en ons bid saam met die groter Shofar gemeente. Soos ek gesê het, vanoggend se diens is 'n bietjie anderste. Ons gaan na 3 video's kyk. En dit gaan jou 'n bietjie inligting ook gee waarvoor ons gaan bid. Ek gaan dit na die tyd deel. So dit gaan nie vanoggend net 'n boodskap wees worship en 'n boodskap soos normaalweg nie, maar waar ons nou die video's gaan kyk en jy gaan 'n bietjie sien wat in die groter Shofar gebeur as ook wat die Here nou vir ons sê. Maar eers gaan ons gaan na, en dan gaan ek 'n bietjie oor die video's gaan ek uitbrei. Maar ons gaan nou eers luister na Heinrich Titus. Heinrich, vir die wat nie weet nie, is die leier van Shofar Kerke. Hy lei Shofar soos dit Wes ook, maar hy is aangestel as die leier van Shofar huidiglik. En hy sal nog wees vir die volgende 8 jaar. Dit is ook nou bevestig dat hy vir die volgende 8 jaar, hy en sy vrou Nikki, die leiers van Shofar sal wees. So kom ons luister saam. Is jy reg, Neil?
Hi there, everyone. It's so wonderful to see you. Well, not you guys are seeing me, but I know that you're out there, and it's amazing to once again to have this platform just to share with you a couple of thoughts. As you guys know, this is our global prayer and fast month, and I shared with you a word which I believe is for all of us as a church family, and of course each one of us has the responsibility just to think about that, to meditate upon that, and to really pray as to what steps does God want you to take concerning the paths of rest, of unity, and of faith. There's an individual path, an individual responsibility, which each one of us has to take with regards to God's word and any message that comes to us from the pulpit. But there's also a collective responsibility as a church family. And so I want to speak to us how we believe we as Shofar leadership can really facilitate a process where as a church family we can respond particularly to the ancient path of faith that we believe God has called us to really engage upon again. We are so thankful for how we could journey together with regards to our unity, with regards to our rest. God has really highlighted to us that as pastors, we need to rest well. We need to focus on relationship with our wives and our kids, and not to be so task-oriented that we sacrifice relationships that are really irreplaceable. And so we are trusting God that we will all continue to grow in our ability to rest, not just in terms of an off weekend or in terms of a holiday, but really with regards to a lifestyle. And we are incredibly thankful as well for the strides we could make with regards to our unity. Such an amazing privilege to serve God with men and women such integrity and loyalty, and that we really are in a place where we trust each other, not just as colleagues, but as brothers and as friends as well. I want to ask that you partner with us with regards to the ancient path of faith. I know that each one of us are having to stand in faith during this time, probably like never before in our lives. And that is a good thing, because as Hebrews tell us, it is impossible to please God unless we have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we know that faith is our oxygen for our relationship with God. It is what really gives us access into God's presence, believing that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But what does that mean for us as a church family to engage again upon the ancient path of faith? Well, we believe that God has called us to take the promised land. We believe that God has called us to lay possession of the nations of the world with regards to their salvation, not with regards to exploiting and with regards to using them for our own gain, but so that we can see the nations worshiping God. And as part of our inheritance, as all believers, God has given us Matthew 28, verse 16, that says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them." So they traveled on a path to the mountain. And this path led them to a commission, to a place where Jesus gives them a command. Like all our paths will lead to that place where Jesus gives us a command. And we believe that Jesus has given us a shofar, this particular command, together with the rest of the body of Christ. "All authority," verse 18, "in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And we are wanting to engage with this promise that Jesus will be with us, but also with this command for us to go. In other words, to travel. In other words, to leave behind the familiar things, to leave behind the fears, maybe, and to travel, to once again step out. And so we're asking for your collective faith that during these next few days, as we pray together, that you will pray with us around this vision that God has given us, to make disciples and to raise up leaders and to plant churches in every nation and every generation. That God once again is holding before us this exciting promise that the best place and the best way in which and through which to make disciples is not so much through a course and through a diploma or certificate or a degree, but it is within the context of relationship. Of family relationship, which we call church. And so we are wanting to once again trust God to plant churches in these coming years. So we, as an apostolic team and as your local pastors, we are gearing our faith and our resources towards trusting God that He will raise up laborers for the harvest. Laborers who will respond to the call of God, like some of you. Many of you, probably most of you, have upon your lives an anointing to function as marketplace ministers in education, in politics, in journalism, in the sporting arena, and many, many, many other places. But some of you also have a call of God upon your life to engage in what we call full-time ministry, which we all know is just a term used and can sometimes portray a wrong impression. But what we mean is someone who says, "I want to invest all of my time and all of my energy to actively shepherd God's people, to actively teach and preach and teach and pastor, to plant new churches, to support existing churches." And so we want to ask you that first and foremost, that you will search your own heart. Some of you, maybe as students, you received a word from God. Some of you, when you were in a particular season of your life, you knew that God was calling you to journey upon this path of planting churches. And maybe God is stirring in your heart again, and we want you to pray around that. God, do you want me to go and plant a church? God, do you want me to partner in supporting a church planter? And then secondly, that you will pray for those who have put up their hands and who are going. We're going to be sharing with you within the next few days the details of fellowship groups that we have across our nation, also in other parts of the world, as well as some exciting stories of people who are going. And we would like you to pray with us that they will engage in faith, and that together with our natural resources, but above all, our faith, we will see more churches planted than ever before, more communities impacted by the life-giving power of Jesus Christ, and the harvest coming in as laborers put up their hands and say, "Lord, here I am, send me." The Lord bless you. Enjoy the time of fasting and prayer as we lift up our collective step of obedience to engage.
Ek kan maar net hou. Ja, soos Heinrich verwys het na the ancient path of faith. Dit gaan oor ons pad van geloof, dit wat al gestap is, as ook die pad wat gestap word vorentoe. En ek wil net so in kort net vastmaak dit wat hy nou gesê het. Nou, my en jou geloofspad is belangrik. Dit is belangrik. Die pad wat ek en jy stap, ons geloofspad. En dit is die pad wat ons verbind tot die ewigheid. Dis die pad wat ons verbind tot God en sy teenwoordigheid. En op hierdie geloofspad is daar nie 'n einde nie. Ons gaan aanhou en aanhou, soos wat ons nou begin het. Dis open-ended, hierdie pad is open-ended. Daar is nie 'n einde aan hierdie pad nie. En ek is eintlik bly, Heinrich het aangeraak oor om in geloof te stap. 2 weke gelede het ek die boodskap gebring om met God te wandel. En ons het gekyk na die lewe van Henoch. Hoe hy met God gewandel het. Die verhouding wat hy en God gehad het. En toe die Here op 'n stadium was, die Here was so tevrede vir hom, tevrede met hom, dat die Here hom net weggeneem het. Dis wat die Here gedoen het. En dit is daai skrif wat Heinrich nou aangeraak het in Hebreërs 11 vers 6. En ek gaan dit gou in Engels weer lees. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we look at the scripture, it doesn't say it's difficult to please God apart from faith, but it says it's impossible. Dis onmoontlik om God te behaag sonder geloof. En ons het gesê, toe ek 2 weke terug gepraat het, dit is wat Henoch se lewe verteenwoordig het, dat hy 'n pad van geloof met God gewandel het. Gaan lees Hebreërs, gaan kyk weer na Hebreërs 11, as julle meer oor dit wil weet. Ek weet, daar is nie baie gesê oor Henochie, maar dit is wat gesê is, en dit is eintlik 'n kragtige en 'n belangrike punt wat gedeel word. En dan het hy aangegaan en hy het Matteus 28 gelees van gaan dan heen, maak disippels. Ek gaan nie die skrif nou weer lees nie. Maar vir my is dit belangrik as ek daai skrifgedeelte saamvat en net vasvat, dat ons sal bid dat daar disippels gemaak word. Dat ons sal bid vir dit. Dat ons sal bid dat daar leiers opgerig word in hierdie volgende 3 dae. Dat ons sal bid dat kerke geplant sal word, of dit nou begin deur 'n klein groepie of 'n kerkplant. Die volgende video's wat ons nou gaan kyk, gaan vir ons meer wys oor wat besig is om te gebeur. En dan het hy gesê, die beste manier om disippels te maak is deur verhoudings. Geestelike familieverhoudings. En hy het gesê, om dit te doen, word die kerk gebruik vir daai verhoudings. So dit is wat ons doen. Die verhoudings moet gesond wees tussen ons, met ons, sodat ons kan uitstap en kan doen dit wat die Here van elkeen van ons vra. Hy vra vir my, hy vra vir jou. So ons gaan 'n bietjie introspeksie ook doen in hierdie tyd. Kom ons kyk na die oorsig, die reflection questions gou van die volgende een. Nou sê, dit is die vraag. Ek gaan alles vir julle stuur. Ek gaan dit vir die selleiers uitstuur en hulle sal dit vir julle deurgee. Dit sê maar net, gaan lees Matteus 28 vers 16 tot 20 en hoor by die Here, wat sê hy vir jou? Is daar roeping op jou lewe? vir die markplek of voltyds. Has God called you to be part of a church plant? If yes, please speak to me, to your pastor. Even if you don't feel called to plant a church, ask the Lord to show how you can support a church plant. Hoe kan jy betrokke raak? Pray for those who are responding to the call of God to go into full-time ministry. En dan, intercessors, meditate on this message of the ancient path of faith and the Great Commission. How will it influence intercession in your congregation? Hoe gaan het ons intercessie beïnvloed vorentoe? Kom ons gaan hoor by die Here, kom ons gaan bid en ons vra vir hom. Dan gaan ek vir Neil vra om die volgende video reg te kry. En dit is persone, van hulle is gemeenteleiers, van hulle is besig om 'n gemeente te begin. Hoe hulle uitstap in geloof en werklik die Here vertrou. So ons gaan nou na daai video kyk en dan gaan ons die gebedspunte net rondom dit ook deurgee. Stepping out in faith. Dit gaan maar oor dat ons sal bid vir die mense, dat ons werklik dink is die vierde of die vyfde ene. Daar sê, pray that each couple would finish their current season well and God would give them grace to facilitate the changes with their leaders and church members. Pray for those that are leaving behind, so vir die wat agterbly. Kom ons hou hulle in gedagte. As verhoudings wat gebou is. Bid vir die nuwe gemeenskappe waartoe hulle gaan, dat hulle met oop harte hulle sal ontvang en bid vir die kinders. Dit is hele baie keer dan word die kinders nie in ag geneem en dit is so belangrik. Hulle ervaar die effek net so soos die ouers, so bid vir die kinders en dan vir hulle praktiese behoeftes, dit wat hulle nodig het, die akkommodasie, die skole ensovoorts, dat ons werklik vir dit sal bid. En dan gaan ons nou na die laaste video kyk, dan ga ek net iets deel rondom dit, die laaste video. Dit is oor die nuwe kerkplante en ons by Shofar Piketberg raak betrokke by die Boesmanland kerkplant. Julle sal nou sien in De Waal, daar het 'n vriend van hom wat by hulle het saam geswat en hulle was by hulle in die gemeente te trek hulle Boesmanland toe. En toe hulle via Zoom het hulle begin betrokke raak en daar het nou 'n paar gesinne by mekaar gekom. En nou gaan daar kerkplant wees, Mamasbury is in ons streek, so ons gaan ook betrokke raak by die kerkplant daar. Kyk Neil.
So, we're planting a church in Oudtshoorn, lekker kerk in Afrikaans. We really felt God's leading us to plant the church there. So, we already started with small groups. There's a prayer group going. Please, in prayer, stand with us because we want to see Oudtshoorn thriving so that the potential that God has placed in that city will come alive. And we know that local church, people that worship Jesus with everything in them, in the building but also outside of the building, is the way that God wants to do that and transform a beautiful city like Oudtshoorn. So please join us, please partner with us.
Shofar Mamasbury started a fellowship group in the Boesmanland, and Anton and Sylvia Nell are the ones that are taking the leadership there. They felt that the Lord said to them that this is what they must do. And we've had a relationship with Anton and Sylvia for a long time, Danelle and I. It came from our time in Shofar Tigerberg, where they got saved more than 10 years ago. And now they are starting this, and from Shofar Mamasbury's side, we are supporting them because of the vastness of the area that they cover. They come together physically once a month. And the previous time they got together, there were 17 adults there and a lot of children. So the Lord is really doing something in the Boesmanland. The rest of the time they meet virtually, like most of us have gotten used to in these times. The Lord is really doing something in the Boesmanland, and we are partnering with them to see what the Lord is going to grow there through this time.
Hi Shofar family, I'm Lisa Rikombrink here from Shofar Kimberley Fellowship Group. We fall under Shofar Bloom. We planted the small group in April 2019 and we are still going strong. And we are really expectant on God for 2021 and to see what God is going to do in this small group and to continue to build this church. Yeah, we had our small 90th fellowship group last week Wednesday, And yeah, we're expecting to see how God is going to continue to build this church. Well, have a blessed day, and it's awesome to partner with you.
Hi everyone, my name is Eddie Swart. I'm from Shofar in Johannesburg. And I just want to tell you about some exciting things that God's been doing in Tabazimbi. Heinrich Miller and his wife Laoni, who were in Shofar in Stellenbosch for about 4 to 5 years and went on a couple of missions to Zim and Jordan, and then spent some time in Brazil and then in Shofar Pretoria. God sent them to Tabazimbi, and in the last couple of years have been using them to establish a group and a church there. And we had the privilege of sending a missions team to Tabazimbi, to one of our contacts there at orphanage, and we knew about them and we asked to partner with them and just connect with them. And God really knit our hearts together in a powerful way. And Ian told me how they spent a couple of years just praying, trusting God for him to work in Tabazimbi. How God in 2017 added another family, and then systematically added more families until there were about 4 to 5 families. And by the end of 2020, when I spoke to Ian, there were about 45 people, and they were sort of using what he called a panel-beated version of Shofar's Encounter 1 and 2 as part of their discipleship. And Ian told me he knows, he's pretty sure God has not called him to be the full-time pastor of the congregation, which has since started with Sunday morning meetings. But he wanted to partner with us as Shofar Johannesburg to raise up leaders, to help raise up a leader to take over from them. And to partner with them just to formalize the church which God had already planted through them.
Hello, I'm Derkin van der Veen. I'm from Shofar Utrecht, involved with the church plant over here. But at the end of 2019, the Lord started speaking to us about Nijmegen. Now, Nijmegen is a city which is on the border with Germany. The Rhine River is coming in at that place into the Netherlands. The Lord started speaking to us, both of us, again to me and to Renee, that we had to go to Nijmegen. We went there the first time, the two of us, and we walked around and just, started praying and felt, okay, this is where the Lord wants us, that we should start then in Shofar Church. Afterwards, we've been again with the teams, twice we've been there with teams, and the Lord also showed us that there's a certain cross, what we had to pray at the top and at the bottom, and at the left and at the right. We went over there, we prayed, we prophesied, we blew the shofar, and we went back again at the later stage where we declared, proclaimed, and declared God's kingdom in Nijmegen over there.
Good day, my name is Jason, and I am working on the Shofar Maun Church plant. Maun is a town up in the northern parts of Botswana. In 2020, in the beginning of 2020, we were sent to go move to Maun to go work on the church plant, where we were laying the foundations for the church plant, specifically looking at building a relationship with the community, both spiritual and the wider community, and then praying that the Lord would give us discernment as to where and how we should be approaching the church plant within Maun. Unfortunately, with COVID that hit in March of 2020, our plans had to change quite drastically, and many of our community that was built at that point was spread out and had to go back to their home countries. Fortunately, we still have a strong core group that is in Maun itself, and we are still meeting online for small group, and we would really love for people to be praying that the doors may be open for our efforts to continue in a stronger way within Maun, not from a distance, but also to carry on in Maun. We still have lots of work to do there. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Daar zijn. Exciting, dat wat gebeur, nee. Wonderlik, mense wat gestuur word, so, waar is die gebedspunte weer, Neil? Maar, ek sal die gebedspunte, sal ek vir julle deurstuur, ek sal het vir julle deurgee, soos wat hulle gepraat het. Vir my is het belangrik dat ons weet dat elke persoon wat gestuur word, of elke persoon of gemeente wat betrokke is, se hulle persoonlike lewe in orde is met God en dat die geestelike huis in orde is met God. Nou wanneer ons na 'n gesin kyk, kom ons kyk gou na jou eie gesin. Gaan dit altyd goed? Nee. Daar's uitdagings. Daar's uitdagings, emosies verskil. Almal se emosies is nie altyd dieselfde nie. So ons het uitdagings, daar soms is daar so 'n bietjie kopstampery, maar tog in dit kom ons weer by mekaar uit en kom ons leer in eenheid. Soms is daar jaloesie of dalk liefdeloosheid. Dit kan ook gebeur in 'n huis. Ander tye ruzie en verdeeldheid. Maar wanneer dit deurgepraat word en saam deurgebid word, dan kom ons weer in eenheid. Dan kom ons weer in liefde met mekaar en dis presies dieselfde vir 'n geestelike huis. Ek sê altyd voordat die Here ons kan gebruik, moet ons huis eers in orde wees. Dit is net so. En moet ons lief wees vir mekaar, moet ons in liefde met mekaar omgaan. En ons kan vir onsself die vraag afvra, elkeen van ons kan vra, is ek opreg lief vir my broer of vir my suster in Christus? Is daar iets wat tussen my en my broer en my suster in Christus staan? Dan moet ons reg maak, want die Here wil ons gebruik. God wil ons gebruik. Is dit wat in plek gesit is vir my om by te woon, woon ek dit by sodat verhoudings kan verdiep. Dis belangrik dat verhoudings kan verdiep. En ek wil vir jou vra as die leier van Shofar Piketberg dat ons werklik in hierdie tyd dat ons eie hart sal ondersoek. Dat ons werklik voor die Here sal kom en sal regmaak as daar dalk iemand is wat met wie jy moet gaan regmaak. Dalk in jou huisgesin, dalk in die kerk, dalk daar buite, maar dat jy sal gaan regmaak as daar verdeeldheid is of as daar nie liefde is nie, dat ons dit sal regmaak. Gister was ons by 'n gedenkdiens van Sonja se neef. Ek moes dit lei en wie julle, jy staan daar voor en jy besef maar net weer wanneer dit by 'n begrafnis kom, dan wil mense regmaak. Dan is het soms te laat. En ek gaan dit nou deel. Ek het vir Sonja gesê, ek wil net iets deel. Die een broer, die broer wat oorlede is, die ander broer het nie in die laaste paar jare met ons enigszins tyd spandeer nie. Want daar was bietjie wrijving. Gister terwyl ek die diens doen, hy het net hier waar Len sit, hy het so gesit, so ver van my af. Hy het non-stop het hy gehuil. Die trane het die heel tyd geloop. Dit is so asof, as ek maar net kon. En hy en sy sisters, hy het hom al vervreem. En hy het na die tyd na sy sisters toe gegaan. Want my boodskap was Johannes 3 vers 16 oor liefde. En hy het na sy sisters toe gegaan en hy het gesê, ons moet ons, ek sal nie die woord gebruik wat hy gesê het nie, ons moet dit stop. Ons moet by mekaar uitkom. Maar in dit wil ek vir jou vra, moenie dat dit te laat is vir jou as jy nie reg maak met iemand nie. Ek het dit gister beleef. Maar in dit is daar genesing nog steeds vir hom. Kon hy nog steeds vrykom van dit wat hom vasgehou het. So ek wil vir jou vra, as daar liefdeloosheid is, hoor by die Here, gemaak reg. Een skrif wat vir my uitstaan, en mense, dit is vir my een krachtig, kom ek vraag so, ek gaan vir Len, vraag Len is, hoe voel jy by jou vrou? Lief haar.
Meeste kere.
Goed, Len is lief vir sy vrou. Dis makkelijk om haar lief te hee. Soms is haar wrijving, dit is normaal, maar jy is lief vir jou vrou, jy is lief vir haar. Kom ons kyk wat staan in Matteus 5. Dis vir my, toe ek dit raak lees, te besef ek, wow, wat sê u vir my? Wat wil u vir ons sê? You have heard that it was said, en nou dat is Jesus wat hier praat, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. 4, verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Wat sê die skrif vir my? Om lief te wees vir die wat jy, wat jou lief het, dis makkelijk. Maar is daar een beloning daarin? Wat se beloning is daarin? Dit gaan oor hierdie ander mense, jou vijand. Sjoe. Dink gou mooi aan iemand wat al nie so, nie sulke mooi goed oor jou uitgespreek het nie. Om daai persoon lief te hê. Die wat jou vervloek om hulle lief te hê. Dis wat die skrifgedeelte vir ons sê. En those who spitefully persecute you. Jy's 'n Christen, kyk hoe leef jy. Is dit maklik om vir hulle lief te wees? Dis wat hier staan in hierdie skrifgedeelte. Wees lief. So ek wil vir jou vra, kom ons, as dat iets is, laat ons al regmaak, laat ons in liefde sal leef. Nie net met mekaar hier, waar dit soms maklik is hier, maar moet daai, wat daar so'n bietjie wrijving al gewees het, die ene wat so'n bietjie aan jou verkeerde spiere trek, waar jy dit aan jou lyf voel. En mag ons dan werklik gehoorsaam wees in die Heilige Gees, die aanbiddingspan kan voorin te kom, dat ons werklik gehoorsaam sal wees aan die Heilige Gees. Ons gaan nou afsluit met 'n lied en weet julle, dit is vir my, ek wil vir jou vra dat hierdie 3 dae vir jou 'n tyd sal wees waar jy werklik by die Here sit, waar jy werklik naby hom kom, waar ons werklik sê, Here, I'm here to grow in you. Come and restore my first love, firstly to you. Dit is wat ons vir hom gaan vra en dan sien ons Woensdag aand. Goed, kom ons staan en ons, die diens was vandag 'n bietjie anders as normaal, maar lekker.